Brothers and sisters, this afternoon I proclaim to you the word of God about our righteousness by faith only. And we will read about that from the Bible, from Galatians chapter 3. And then thereafter we will also read from the confessions, first the Belgian Confession, Article 23, and then also the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23. So first let us read Galatians chapter 3. And we read the word of God. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abram beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abram and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. So far the Scripture reading. We will now read from the Belgian Confession, Article 23, Our Righteousness Before God. That's page 508 of the Book of Praise. And there we read what the church summarized and what the church confesses about our righteousness before God. We believe that our blessedness lies in the forgiveness of our sins for Jesus Christ's sake, and that therein our righteousness before God consists. As David and Paul teach us, they speak of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. The apostle also says that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we always hold to this firm foundation. We give all the glory to God, humble ourselves before him, and acknowledge ourselves to be what we are. We do not claim anything for ourselves or our merits, but rely and rest on the only obedience of Jesus Christ crucified. His obedience is ours when we believe in him. This is sufficient to cover all our iniquities and to give us confidence in drawing near to God, freeing our conscience of fear, terror, and dread, so that we do not follow the example of our first father Adam, who trembling tried to hide and cover himself with fig leaves. For indeed, if we had to appear before God, relying, be it ever so little, on ourselves or some other creature, woe be to us, we would be consumed. Therefore, everyone must say with David, O Lord, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. Now we also read from Lorsay 23 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 537. In the previous Lord's days, the Heidelberg Catechism explains the Apostles' Creed, the 12 articles of our faith, and now it asks about that, but what does it help you now that you believe all this? In Christ I am righteous before God and heir to life everlasting. How are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Although my conscience accuses me that I have grievously sinned against all God's commandments, have never kept any of them, and am still inclined to all evil, yet God, without any merit of my own, out of mere grace, imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. He grants these to me as if I had never had nor committed any sin, and as if I myself had accomplished all the obedience which Christ has rendered for me. If only I accept this gift with a believing heart. Why do you say that you are righteous only by faith? Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, for only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God. I can receive this righteousness and make it my own by faith only. Brothers and sisters, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified by faith and by faith only. And that's a beautiful gospel. You are righteous before God, not because of anything you did, not because you worked hard for it. If that would be the case, then you would constantly be scared if my works, if your works are good enough to save yourselves. That's the struggle Luther went through. No, you get it all for free without any merits of your own. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe it, you have received it. It is God's promise to you. And the only thing you need to do is to believe it. If you don't believe it, then you stubbornly reject it. You don't want to. And that's the problem so often throughout the history of the church, and also now, so many people, they reject it because they can't believe it. They think that still there has to be something from themselves. They have to do something. We read about it in Galatians 3. Paul had to say to the Galatians, "You foolish Galatians," quite strong. "You foolish Galatians, you have given up your redemption because you want to trust in good works. Well, indeed, if you do trust in good works, yeah, there is salvation by good works, but then your good works have to be perfect. And the law teaches us that we cannot be perfect, so that way is closed. If you still try to save yourselves by good works, then there is no salvation for you. It is the pride of human beings that we always want to do something ourselves. We want to put our trust in ourselves. We can do at least a little bit of it. And if we can't do good works, then at least we can make the right decision. We can believe. Faith is our work. No, the Bible says. Throw it all away. Nothing from yourselves. It is all Christ's work for you. And if there is anything that you put your trust in, that will take you away from Jesus Christ. Therefore, by faith only, we are righteous before God. Nothing else and no one else. And yes, and there are good works. Colossians 32 speaks about it in part about the thankfulness. But today, it is about righteousness by faith only, Colossians 23. And it doesn't speak about good works. Colossians 24 speaks about good works, but they cannot be our righteousness before God. Our righteousness is only Jesus Christ. And if we do not give Him all the glory, if we do believe that there is something in ourselves, then we take away from the glory of God. God who worked such a salvation as no eye had seen, nor ear had heard, no human mind had conceived, that God Himself gave His own Son, Jesus Christ, who came to assume human nature, to suffer and to die for our sins. Unheard of. No human mind came ever up with this work of salvation. Whatever religion you look at, whatever religion you study, they all believe that there is something in us that makes us worthy to come before God. Not so God's word. We are righteous only by faith. And that's the gospel that comes to us in Lord's Day 23, and which I proclaim to you this afternoon under this theme. By faith I am righteous before God. The first is faith looks at Christ. Second, this faith embraces God's promise. And third, this faith does not boast in itself. By faith I am righteous before God. First, this faith looks at Christ. Righteousness by faith only. That is so central in our faith, in the Holy Reformed doctrine. It all stands or falls with it. Righteousness by faith only. And that is why Paul was so strong in Galatians 3 verse 1 by calling the Galatians foolish. They gave this up. They gave up the center of their faith. And they referred it to works of the law. And over against that, Paul says, this is not the gospel that we preached. Even if an angel from heaven comes down and preaches something else than we proclaimed, let him be accursed. The gospel that Paul preached was righteousness by faith only. There is no self-righteousness. We can't do anything for our righteousness. No, on the contrary, God declares us righteous in Christ. Christ did it all for us, and after Christ has completed His work, now God declares us righteous. And the only thing you have to do is receive it by faith. The only way that you can lose your righteousness is that you reject it. Because God promises it to you, God gives it to you, and God's promises are certain. God will never renege on His promise. If you go to God and say to God, yes, I believe, give me the righteousness, then God will give it to you. Without hesitation, it is God's will that you are righteous before God. And you receive the forgiveness of all your sins from God. And God is the only one who forgives sins. You cannot go anywhere else to get forgiveness of sins. You cannot pay for it. You cannot exchange it for good works. You cannot ask the church to pray for it and to give you the forgiveness of sins. That is all part of the Roman Catholic Church. That is what we do not believe in. They believe that the church, that the Pope, can give the forgiveness of sins. And as one of the 95 theses of Luther, if the Pope really can give the forgiveness of sins, then he should not do so for money, but he should do so freely. because that's the greatest gift that can be given. But God only can forgive. We read in the Gospels, especially the book of Luke, that the Pharisees took issue with the Lord Jesus because he forgave sins. Who else can forgive sins than only God? And then the Lord Jesus presented himself as the Son of God, but they rejected him. They didn't want to believe that he was God. And they said he blasphemed because he forgave sins. But God made the forgiveness of sins possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he gives it to us. God gives it to us. And yes, we can forgive each other, but we cannot forgive the sins which we have before God. Only God can do so, not the church. It's a task of the church to preach the forgiveness of sins. It's a task of the church to preach to all those who repent from their sins that they have the forgiveness of sins given to them by God. God speaks to us. God gives the forgiveness of sins. And the forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed by the church to all those who believe. And there's real forgiveness. That is something wonderful, something great. So often we can so easily talk about forgiveness. So easily we can talk about forgiving each other. Really forgiving each other is harder, but so easily we can talk about it. And so easily we can also speak about the forgiveness of all our sins in a prayer. But often we don't realize how great this gift is. Psalm 32 spoke about it. How blessed is he whose sins are forgiven. And if your sins are not forgiven, then you're not blessed at all, then you're miserable. And we have to know our sin and misery. That is one of the conditions in order to live in the joy of discomfort. That we know our sin and misery. Because then we also know how much we need the deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then really we will live in thankfulness. If we really know our sin and misery, then we really know the riches of God's gifts of grace. And then we are thankful. Then we realize that the death of God's Son was necessary for God to be able to forgive our sins. God, who is just in forgiving our sins, because his Son, Jesus Christ, died for our sins. And this God who is just, this God who does not change his mind, who is the same, who is and who was and who is to come, this God comes to us with the Bible in the Bible, and he says to us, I declare you righteous. Isn't that wonderful to hear? This declaration from God is an official statement based on the truth. It is the truth, signed by God himself in baptism. God gives us the certificate of this righteousness in baptism. Baptism is not righteousness itself, but it is a sign and a seal of it. As a sign and seal of it, we can show, I am baptized. I believe in God, so I am righteous. I believe what God says to me. I believe God's promise, so I have the righteousness. All requirements are met. Several students in the last few weeks received a diploma. They graduated from school, and they got a certificate in which it says that they graduated, that they have fulfilled all the requirements to graduate. And that's an official document which you can use. If you go to uni, you can send it to uni. If you go somewhere else, you can use it. It's an official certificate. It shows what you have done. It is not the achievement itself, but it shows what you have achieved. Still the achievement you have now, and you're going to use that, whether it is when you go to work or go to uni. But this document is the proof, and that is like a baptism. Baptism shows to us what we have in Jesus Christ, and now by faith we receive it. When you have your diploma, you can say, well, I don't use it. I throw it out. I don't use it. I do something totally different. I've learned 5, 6, 7 years for my diploma, and now I'm going to do something else. Well, then it is worthless. Then you don't get it. Then you don't use what you achieved. And that's what you do when you reject God's promises. You have baptism, you have received the sign and the seal of God in baptism, but you say, I don't believe it. I don't believe in God. I don't believe what God says in His Word. I throw it out. I don't want to know anything about it. Then you have it, but you throw it away. And then you don't have it anymore because you threw it away. God gave it to you, the promise, but you did not want to accept it. But if you later come back and say to God, yes, I changed my mind, I repent, I'm sorry for my sin, please give it to me, then God's promise still stands. You can't come back to God. And He will never forget His promise. Once given, it's always true. And the only one who can reject it is yourself. How then is it possible that we are righteous? We haven't achieved anything. In school, we have some achievements. We did certain things to show that we deserved a diploma. But here we didn't do anything. How then can we say we are righteous? How can God give this declaration that we are righteous in Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible teaches us that there is righteousness by the law. If we keep all the commandments, then we are righteous. But we already heard in Lord's 2 that we cannot keep the law. We are inclined by nature to hate God and our neighbor. So that's not possible. It's a total failure. We did not just miss a few marks. We did not just fail because we had 1 or 2% too little. We didn't have enough. We were at 49% and we failed the course. No. What the law teaches is that it is a complete failure. We didn't keep any of them. We didn't do anything to earn our salvation. So that, the Bible teaches us, that road is closed. Israel in the Old Testament is for us an example. Israel, they time and again sinned against God. And every time God redeemed them from their enemies, after a while they turned away again. And it's given to us as an example. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says that. Do not be like them, like they were in the desert. They all drank from the same rock that is Christ. They all were baptized into Moses. But then the whole generation died in the desert because God was not pleased with them. It's a total failure. We have to learn that as well. From the Bible, from our own life, from the law. And then we come to Christ. And then we realize that righteousness is only through Christ. The only way was through the law, but the law condemns me. And now Christ says, now I come to fulfill the law. Psalm 40. The law brings curse to us. Cursed is everyone who does not do what is written in the book of the law and abide by them. Cursed. Now Jesus Christ says, I take those sins upon me and I bear the curse. And Jesus Christ came and suffered on the cross, cursed by God. Jesus Christ also fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. What we could not do, He did perfectly. And now He sits at God's right hand. And now He says to God that our life in sin is covered by His life in righteousness. Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ became the curse for us. And now we are righteous with Christ because He fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law, and God imputes that to me. He gives it to me as if it is my own. He gives it to you as you have done it yourself. That is how we stand before God, by faith. Righteous before God. God looks at you and sees the life of Jesus Christ as if it is your own life. Lord 14 already spoke about He covers, with His life, He covers my life, in which I was, in my sins in which I was conceived and born. That is how it is. All our sins, even those sins in which we are conceived and born, are covered in the sight of God. Psalm 32. And it brings us to our second point. In the first point, we saw that this faith looks at Christ. It's only by Christ that we are redeemed. In the second point, we see that this faith embraces God's promise. The Catechism says that we are declared righteous. God gives it to me as if I never had or committed any sin, as if I myself had accomplished all the obedience with Christ as, which Christ has rendered for me. And this declaration of God, he declares us righteous in his word. This declaration is of tremendous importance. It is a matter of life and death, brothers and sisters. What is happening here in church, the preaching of God's word, is a matter of life and death. What you hear here in church, believe it, receive it, because it gives you eternal life. And if you sit in church here and don't want to listen and are critical and reject the preaching, then with that you throw away your eternal life. Because this is the declaration from God that you are righteous before God. Receive it by faith. Galatians 3, verse 11. There we read, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And this is one of those central texts in the Bible. From the Old Testament, we read it in Habakkuk 2 verse 4, is quoted by Paul in Romans and quoted here in Galatians. It's one of those central texts, brothers and sisters. And if you don't know it yet, please memorize it. The just shall live by faith. Only six words. It's very important. That's the promise. You will live by faith. By faith, you are righteous and you will live. That's the promise which you have. God's declaration determines everything. A lot of people in this world can say a lot of things to you, but the only thing that is important for you is God's declaration. And everything that is not in accordance with that is rubbish. Believe what God says to you. You are righteous by faith. And if you're righteous now, here and now, if God declares you righteous here and now, then you're also righteous in the day of judgment, because God does not change his mind. If you are in Jesus Christ now, then you have eternal life and you will live eternal life. And then on the day of judgment, Christ will say, come here, stand on my right hand, you beloved of my Father. For you is the kingdom of my Father. Matthew 25, where Christ is separating the sheep from the goats. Stand on my right hand. You did what was right. And if you're not righteous in this life on this earth, if you do not repent on this earth, in this life, then you stand condemned already. John 3 verse 18. He who does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the Son of God. As long as you don't believe, you are dead in sin. And it will continue on the day of judgment. Then it will become clear that there you are dead in sin, and Christ will say to you, stand at my left hand, because you never cared for me. Cared about me. And you go into the eternal fire. The decision is being made here and now on this earth. Here and now, if you believe, you are righteous. Here and now, if you reject the promise, you are dead in sin. Never believe. Receive it by faith. People try to deny that God exists. People try to deny that God's word is the truth. But denying the truth, that does not make the truth go away. God's judgment still stands. All those who are by faith in Jesus Christ are righteous. And all those who are not by faith in Jesus Christ are condemned already. And our conscience may testify against us. Our conscience may say, you righteous? Come on, do you believe that? Our conscience may constantly point at our sins and our weaknesses and then all the good things that others are doing and all the saints in the Roman Catholic Church, all those special people, and we make our own saints maybe as well. We look up to them and we think, well, I cannot achieve that. And that makes you uncertain. Your conscience accuses you. Conscience looks at the law. This is what the law says. I am not joyfully coming to church every Sunday. Sometimes I have to because I am told to. And also with my money, I'm not always giving my gifts to the church and to other organizations with joy, with thankfulness. God loves a cheerful giver, but I'm not always that cheerful when I have to give my donations. And then also lust. When I'm watching movies and see something happening there, and sometimes I even enjoy it. That's my conscience. But the Bible says, yes, it is wrong, it is sin. I should repent from that. But still believe that you have the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Don't continue in sin, don't give up, but always turn to Jesus Christ, because He forgives you and He renews you by His Holy Spirit. And now it is as if I never had or committed any sin. Can you imagine at the end of the day, you think back that day and you remember all those many sins, this all that filth, all those terrible deeds that you have done. And then Christ, God says, you are righteous in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And that is what you may know now, and that is what you may know for the future as well. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And on the last day, when Christ Jesus Himself, who gave His life for us, will sit on His judgment seat, He will say to us, come to Me, you beloved of My Father. Come at My right hand and inherit the kingdom of My Father. You will not be accused of all your sins. You will not be condemned. But you will be told that you are righteous. Righteous now, righteous forever. Live with God now, within the covenant. That is important, brothers and sisters. God wants to live with us. And in order to live with us, God made us righteous and God is making us holy so that we can live with Him. And if you live with Him now, we will live with Him in eternity. And that's a new reality which we receive by faith. And the reality is real now. Satan is thrown down. Jesus Christ is seated at God's right hand. Satan cannot come in heaven anymore to accuse God's elect. Revelation 12, verse 10 speaks about it. And the righteous have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of the Lamb that determined the fate of Satan, that he was thrown down from heaven. And now Christ is seated at God's right hand. Now Christ, who gave his life for us, it is his will that we are God's children. And nothing is required from us to earn that position. God grants these to me. He gives these to me without any merit of our own. But it's so hard to believe, brothers and sisters. So often we doubt. So often we think that it does depend on us. It does depend on us. We have to build a church. We have to do good works. We have to show how good we are. And if not, if you don't, then we feel guilty. But that is not what God requires of us. Believe in God. Turn to Him, and you receive all this by grace, out of grace. Trust in God. It is the most difficult struggle in our lives. If we don't trust, if we don't depend on God completely, then we don't obey God. The first requirement is that we trust, that we believe, that we do not reject what God offers us, but that we believe, that we embrace Him, that we love Him, depend on Him. And then, if we do depend on Him, then we will live a new life, a life in thankfulness and obedience to His commandments. But that comes thereafter, after we have been redeemed. First, we receive the redemption. And that's the same with Abram. Abram lived in Haran, and God said to him, go to a land, a country that I will show you. I will give you many descendants, and you will receive that country which I will show you. He didn't even call a name. He didn't even say the name of the country, Canaan. Abram discovered it later. And Abram went, and Abram was circumcised. And it all was an act of faith. It was not something to earn what God promised him, but it was an act of faith. Abram believed God. Abram went to Canaan, and then he got it. Abraham could have said, I believe God, but I stay in Haran. Would he have gotten it? No, because he would not go to Canaan. He would not have gotten the promised land. So Abraham believed God, and therefore he received what God gave to him, the promised land and descendants. And that is faith. By faith we believe God, we embrace the promise, and then with that we receive what God promised. And then in the third place, we see that this faith does not boast in itself. As the 60 ends with, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart. And the question answer 61, why do you say that you are righteous only by faith? Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. It is not my faith in itself that makes me worthy to come before God. Christ came to save the entire mankind. Christ sent his apostles to all nations. He commanded them to make all nations to his disciples. The command goes to all nations without exception to believe and to become Christ's disciples. And the salvation is being offered to the entire mankind. But we also know that not all accept it. It is only by faith that they receive it. Those who don't believe it don't receive it. But that does not mean that faith becomes a condition which you must fulfill first. That does not mean that it is by our goodness, our decision, that we receive it. No. Faith is the means by which we embrace it. Faith is the hand which we stretch out to receive it. Faith is not our own work. To believe, that means there is nothing to boast in. If you receive something enormous, if you are in trouble, if you are deep in debt, and someone comes to you and tells you, here, you have $1 million, pay off your debts, and live a life in freedom, free of debts, and you receive it, and you go to the bank, and you say to the bank, see, I have found a solution, I have worked hard, I have done my best, and here's the money, because I stretch out my hand, and I receive the money from this millionaire. Of course not, that's not what you're going to do. You're going to talk to everyone else. Look, this man came to me and gave me $1 million so that I could pay off my debts and I can continue to live in freedom, free of debts. That is what you say. You're not going to boast in your goodness that you reached out, that you stretched out your hand and received the money. And it's the same with faith. We are not going to boast in our faith, that our faith is so good that we reached out to God and we received from him what he was giving to us. No, we will boast in the Lord. But even then, if there would be anyone who would say, yes, still it is my faith, then the Bible says, no, it is all given to us by God. Those whom he called, he also justified. God did everything. Those he justified, he also glorified. It is given to us by God, not from ourselves. And with that, all boasting is taken away. And Paul says, therefore, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. And trust yourself to Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. Grab hold of him while you are drowning during a storm at sea. You don't know where to go, and there is no salvation if you do not embrace Christ. Christ comes to you. Christ reaches out to you. Embrace him. And trust yourself to him. Let him save you. Grab hold of him who can save you from eternal death. And then not the quality of your faith is important. Christ says we should have a childlike faith. Childlike faith, become like a child. It's not about human wisdom by which we discern the truth. It is about trusting in what God says to you. This truth we cannot explain. There's things which we cannot explain. The secret things are for the Lord. We have to believe him. But this faith trusts in God, trusts that what he says is truth. And that means that we are righteous before God. It is no human judgment who condemns us, even though human judgment can condemn us, but that condemnation is worthless. It is God's judgment that declares us righteous. God's judgment. He pronounces us righteous. Now by the preaching of the word. And when Christ returns, he will do so in front of the entire world. Also those who persecuted the church, they will all hear from God. These people I declare righteous. These people whom you have persecuted, these people whom you have ridiculed, on whom you look down, these are the ones who are righteous. And that will be declared in front of the entire world. And everyone will hear it. But now already you have it. And you may look forward to that great day. Satan again tries to sow doubt as long as you live on this earth, so that you may lose it by giving it up. That is Satan's work, and he uses our conscience. But do not listen to him. Do not listen to your conscience if it goes against God's word, if it tells you that you are not righteous. Listen to the word of God. Righteous by faith only. There is forgiveness for each who repents, for each who asks for forgiveness. God forgives more than 77-fold. Don't let Satan disturb you. Trust in God that what he says is true. Childlike trust. And it is God's desire, brothers and sisters, that his children are righteous. It is God's desire that we are saved. God does not want us to perish. God does not want the world to perish. But he gave his only son so that all those who believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. It is God's will that you are saved. Is it your own will? Is it your desire? God declares it to us in the Bible. He assures us in the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Believe it. Trust in God. And live your life free of worry. Trust in God because you are righteous. Amen.